Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that means we are live, the Edge of Reality, here on the NDB Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday to you all, and a short week. Happy late Independence Day, and I hope that means that you guys had a short week, maybe even off this week. I'm not, but whatever, one can dream. I hope the best for you. And if you're not, hey, one day for the till the weekend. Big show. We've got the first week of Big Brother, I guess technically 2 weeks, even though we've just gotten through the first eviction of Big Brother 20 in the books. We want to talk all about it. We also need to talk about the proposal. We need to talk about the challenge. We got to talk about a bunch of other stuff. But before I say anything else, I got to say hello and good evening to my producer and co-host, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
Hola, Alice. Not much. I'm trying to get caught up in Big Brother because I have had a busy week, and I haven't been able to stay caught up. I've caught things here and there, so you're going to have to give me some scoop.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I am in. You know, the first week really sets the tone. It's not always, you know, for instance, the first week of last season was insane, and it was probably one of the best first weeks I've ever seen, and I loved the feeds, and then very quickly after that, the show dropped off for me. So, you know, you can't say after 1 week, oh my God, I love this season. Oh my God, the feeds are the best this season. But this is what I will say. 16 new players, which, you know, thank God no one is in the house. No, the what Allison Grodner told us is absolutely true. That is a true thing. 16 new players, and I have to say, many of them have exceeded my expectations from their pre-show interviews, which is nice. I kind of was under the impression that they didn't have a lot of knowledge of the game prior to coming in, but more people have more knowledge than I expected, and it's nice. It's nice that people have that background. And everyone came in this week, with the exception of a couple, ready to play the game. And so that made the first week relatively exciting, even though we kind of got to a place where it couldn't be exciting. So, the first twist of the season was that they divided the house guests from 16 into groups of 8. Ultimately, there were two competitions. I didn't need the two competitions in the first episode. I was fine with them. I wasn't mad at the fact that Big Brother was a 2-hour premiere. I thought in general it went quickly. Essentially what happened was the winner of the winners of both of those competitions competed. Swaggy won that. He got to choose 8 people to be safe. However, the key was that it was the groups of people who came into the house together. So you had to keep 4 people safe at a time. So you didn't choose 8 individuals. I didn't love that. Paul did something very similar last year when he came into the house and he chose individuals. I think that makes you more accountable for your choices. It was very easy for him to hide choosing the 4 groups because one of the groups was him. So he already had 4 people automatically chosen because he had to keep himself safe. Well, he didn't have to, but it would have been stupid not to. And then he chose the other group, and it was very easy because it was the group that he went in with. It was the other group of 8 people that they originally went in together. And it was very easy to say, well, this was the group that I first came into the house with, so it makes the most sense. So in terms of getting blood on his hands, he didn't have to do it. I wish that he had to choose 8 individuals. I think that would have been a much more interesting choice structure if they were going to do that kind of twist in the beginning of the episode. With me, did you not care? What do you think, Priscilla?
No, I mean, I agree. It's really hard. I mean, we're not exactly sure, but you know the timeline is within the first few hours of being in the house, you know, or at least the first day. So you kind of have an out with that kind of a reasoning behind it. Granted, I actually find it more impressive that the other side of the house finally chooses the jocks to stay together to keep them in the house longer. To me, that was a little more thought behind it, and I believe that was Winston's idea. With Swaggy, I didn't really feel one way or the other because it's kind of, you know, predictable.
Sure, sure. So then the losers of those two aforementioned competitions, they had a punishment. It was Sam and Casey. Sam had to be a robot, which in some ways was probably the worst punishment I've ever seen. Being a robot, not technically outside of the house, but, you know, she was probably in a little room somewhere pretty close by. You know, she was not herself for days at a time. And then, you know, when the feeds first came on the first night, you even heard her saying, like, oh, man, I just need a little bit of time to unpack. Or, oh, that was fun when I climbed the climbing wall that one time. And you're like, oh, Jesus, how much has she been in this house? And the answer was not a lot, at least in the last couple days, because she, you know, ends up being on the block. They let her be herself a little bit more often and gave her a chance to connect and you know, it's very hard to fight for your life when you're a robot. So I thought in general, it was a difficult punishment. However, I think the entire reason she ultimately got her power was because she was a robot and how she handled it and how fun it was and how she did a good job with becoming the robot. I think that is 100% how she got her power. So there was a lot of negatives and positives to that. And then Casey was the one who lost in her heat, and she had to wear a rainbow unitard with a spinning wheel that when the wheel spun, she had to stay in the room, like the room that she was in, and couldn't leave that room. And at first, I mean, I went days without seeing that thing spin at all, and I don't know if Big Brother saw social media or was like, what the hell is this? Like, the difference between these two punishments are, like, insane, where Sam is out of the house as a robot for days at a time, and Casey is, like, wandering, you know, she's wearing a rainbow unitard, and that's her punishment. But for the last couple days, they've really, her wheel has been a spinning, so she's been stuck out for hours upon hours in one room. Again, not a big thing. I don't think that hurt her game at all. I don't think it changed anything. She wasn't on the block, so it wasn't a huge deal. But there was definitely a disparity between these two punishments. Tyler, Tyler becomes HOH, and he only has 8 people to choose from. The bros, Winston and Brett, immediately get him in an alliance. It's called Level 6 Alliance. That involves Rachel, Angela, Brett, Winston, Casey, and Tyler. And then the other side of the house formed a alliance called Forte, which is Caitlin, Rockstar, Bailey, Haley, and Fessy. Now, these alliances are insane, and Forte is going to collapse. It's already collapsed. It wasn't built on a solid foundation. But I do love a co-ed alliance. I do have to say that. I really enjoyed the fact that both sides had co-ed alliances, And so far, even though there's bros on both sides, you know, Fessy and Swaggy think they're running the show, Brett and Winston think they're running the show, the women are definitely holding their own and making decisions within that alliance as well. Yeah, I like a co-ed alliance. I like how this kind of shaped up. And then there's also kind of a middle group of people that, you know, even though, you know, I don't want to call them floaters because I think that's dumb. It's the first week. They shouldn't be in alliances anyway. But, you know, I think that there's this kind of middle group of people that can go either way. And Sam's in that and Scotty's in that. And, you know, I think there's some swings in there that can prove interesting. But I really liked the formation of these two alliances. And it also made for a it made for an interesting week, because one side wanted one person to go home and another side wanted another person to go home. So we didn't get a majority vote. We got a 7-6 vote, which is nice. That's always fun. It's never fun when it's a unanimous vote. Priscilla, we like a split vote.
Exactly. I like to see the face go.
So Steve and Sam are up on the block. They're both on the block. Tyler kind of used they were the first ones out in their competition as an excuse to kind of put them up. No one really connected with Sam because she was a robot. Steve is 90 years old and pretending to be 40. I don't know. They claim to be 40. I don't know why Big Brother would lie about his age, but the man does not look like he's 40 years old. He looks like he's 55 years old. But anyway, I digress. You know, the one thing that I will have to say, Steve ends up going home tonight in a 7-6 vote. He felt fairly confident that he had the votes. And I did enjoy the fact Steve and Sam both fought. They both talked to people throughout the week. They both gave reasons why they should stay. You know, they both weren't great at articulating what they needed or why they were good for people's games. I think other people did that for them much better. But, you know, we've had seasons, Priscilla, where, you know, people are on the block and one or both of them just legit give up and there's no pleading your case. There's no conversations. So, yeah, I'm glad that we saw that part of it, at least for week one. I don't know if that's going to be the case every week, but at least for week one, that was good. The only thing, Priscilla, and we talked about this because we were watching the show together on feeds, and you can too, CBS.com. Get the feeds. We're the Edge of Reality chat room. Feel free to come and hang out with us. We're a small group, a fun group. We watch the show and we love it. But we were watching the show together and you said, you know, I called Steve being the first one out from the very beginning. And you're absolutely right. Like, Steve is a very predictable first boot, right?
Yeah, because everybody was trying. CBS was trying to put him in the Derek aspect, and he is no Derek, and not even in comparison.
No, I don't think anyone was realistically putting him as Derek. I mean, except for the undercover cop
thing. No, but
thing.
When we were talking about casting, he kind of fell into that category. Remember when we were talking about the way that they cast these shows? I think we were talking about a different show, actually, when it came up. But it's as they thought that he would probably go far, and I figured he'd be the first one out.
Yeah, I mean, he is a very predictable boot. He's the oldest person in the house. He didn't quite connect with people on the same level as you know, most others. I obviously he wasn't going to be Derek. Derek had the benefit of also being the same age as everyone else. So he was an undercover cop, but he was also the same age as everyone else. Not only it was Steve the oldest person by far, he looked it and acted like it and was very, you know, he even, Kevin, he didn't even have Kevin, you know, Kevin from last year, who was considerably older than everybody
right.
else. Kevin could fit in and had, you know, kids the same age as the contestants, and he could was able to speak to them. Steve, if you watch Steve on the feeds, you know, he just had a hard time relating to people. He tried. He tried. And he wasn't horrible, but you could tell. And there was a great montage when Julie was interviewing him of him talking about police officers a lot. And he did a terrible job of denying the fact that he was a police officer. People don't suspect it. I don't think people cared either way. You know, I don't think that, I mean, if they said Steve is an undercover cop, I think they would be like, oh my gosh, but I think they wouldn't care. I don't think they would see it as any much more of a threat. Or if they said Steve is a professor, I don't think they would be like, oh my gosh, Steve was a threat. You know, I don't think that was it. He just had a hard time relating. He also wore a beanie and a hoodie at the same time. And that's like trying to be too much like a kid. He would wear his hair pushed back or pushed up a lot, like how the kids wear it. Like, I think at some points he was trying too hard to like look like I'm a young person just like you. And it just didn't work. And sadly, you know, it wasn't about all, you know, there was a group of people that loved Sam and a group of people that loved Steve. I think it was all about the alliances and where they shook out. And frankly, I don't think anybody really cared if Steve or Sam was going home. It's not about them. It was about the alliances and how they shook out. So I found that interesting. I loved a 7-6 vote. I hope that that continues. You know, and I hope to see some alliances within the larger groups starting to form. Just a couple things that I want to talk about, too. God, could Brett and Winston be any more douchier? I mean, I think they woke up this morning and was like, I want America to think I'm the biggest douche in the world. Shirtless, just wearing a vest, open vest with no shirt on. That's how I'm going to do it. What the hell? I mean, Jesus Christ. And the sad thing is, on the feeds, Winston is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, he is probably, I mean, you know, I'm trying to think. Jeremy from season 15 was probably douchier. But there's only a couple people douchier than him in Big Brother history. And that is saying a lot when we think about former contestants. I mean, Winston and Brett are terrible, terrible. So I just want to point it out there. Swaggy, also terrible. I don't love a nickname on a t-shirt. I've decided that. I love Jen, Big Brother 8 Jen, having Genius on a shirt for some reason, but I don't love a Swaggy C t-shirt. I don't know what the difference
well,
is.
Well, when you're, when it's a nickname that you made up yourself and that's not like a nickname that came about organically, it's kind of egotistical in my opinion a little bit. I believe Bailey said something to that effect as well.
When it has to go, when you have to give yourself your own nickname and then put it on shirts, nope, not having it. This week though, I mean, I saw a fair amount of feeds. I could have watched it more. I don't straight up love anyone yet. I'm liking some of the things that Haley is doing. I'm liking some of the things Casey is doing. I think Casey is quiet, underestimated. I think that she is going to get the crap at next week, and we'll talk about that in a second. But I think that, you know, and there isn't anybody, besides Winston, there isn't anybody I straight up hate. Brett is actually on the feeds, not as douchey as he comes across. I think he like waits for America to watch him to become his, like, as douchey as possible. Caitlin is a complete pain in the ass, but completely what you think of. We had I did a Big Brother draft, and Caitlin was the one who went undrafted, and there was a reason for that. Even though she's HOH now, she got HOH. So, yeah, a couple more things that I want to talk about. One being, well, first, Caitlin is now the new HOH. She is the one that the entire week she has said that she didn't want it because she was good with everyone. She said it. I mean, Caitlin is the person that flipped, that ultimately made Steve go home. It was supposed to be 7-6 with Sam going home. Caitlin ended up flipping because she's now friends with Tyler. There's also a love triangle with Fessy, Haley, and Caitlin. Caitlin has a boyfriend. So she shouldn't be a part of a love triangle, but she desperately needs attention. She desperately needs to seek attention. She doesn't love that Fessy gives attention to Haley, and there's been a lot of drama surrounding that, a lot of fighting, which is the reason why this alliance is dead, because of this. And Caitlin officially switched. So, and now she's HOH, so she has to make pretty important decisions. She has to decide whether or not she's going to stick with the alliance that she originally said she was going to stick with, or if she is going to go with the alliance that she just voted with. It's a very similar situation to Whitney and OTT, except for, you know, Whitney had been in the alliance for way longer. So I honestly, right now at this point, I don't know who she's going to put up. I think Scotty is somebody that I could see her putting up, just because it would be very, I haven't seen her connect with Scotty, very much. So I think that would be a very easy, you know, put up situation with her. Her and Swaggy have not been getting along, even though, they're technically in the same alliance, so I could see a situation where she puts up Swaggy. I at some point early in the week, she did not like Angela, so I could maybe see her putting up Angela. So there's a couple of different ways to go. It'll be interesting to see what she goes for. Hell, she can do, again, I'm alluding to Big Brother 8, Jen. She could pull a Jen and put up, you know, she wants the showmance with Fessy that she can't have, and she's mad at Haley for getting this attention. She could put up Fessy and Haley because she's being petty. Who knows? You know, like Jen did with Nick. Remember that week? That was a fun week. So right. It can go in multiple ways. She could also, you know what? She could also put up Sam too, because Sam has a power. She knows that Sam has this power. Sam has the power that within the first 4 weeks of the game, her or someone else has the opportunity to come back into the game. If it's not used within the first 3 weeks, the fourth week person who gets evicted automatically gets a chance to come back. So they know this. So, you know, Sam would be an easy person to put up to kind of, I thought that would be the reason why Sam gets sent home, to kind of flush out her power, which kind of made sense to me, but apparently it didn't make sense to other people. Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of different directions where that can go. But again, that's fun for me. You know, that's fun to have a Thursday night and not know exactly what the HOH is going to do, and not have your whole week set up. So that's cool. I think it's going to be an interesting week. I'm looking, and Caitlin is a drama. She's a certified life coach. My God, if you're going to her to be a certified, if you're getting life coaching advice from her, please don't get your money back. Don't do it. It's not good. It's not good.
Good.
Don't do it.
I'm not the only one that was thinking that way. As soon as she said in her interview with Ross that she was a life coach, just from her personality, I'm like, oh, good God. I bet she doesn't get rich over it.
What I'm saying is that she is a terrible salesperson for her life coaching business, because she, you know, as a walking advertisement for calm and zen, she has been everything but calm and zen this week. There's been a lot of crying. There's been a lot of fighting. There's been a lot of, you know, I want boys to like me, even though I have a boyfriend, a lot of attention seeking. No life coaching. There has been no life coaching. So that happened. but we'll see what happens. I'm kind of interested in what direction she goes. So we have this twist in the game that America gets to vote for, because God forbid America isn't involved in something. And it's a power and a crap app. And, you know, a lot of people originally thought that the person that you like the most gets the power and the person that you like the least gets the crap app. But that's not how this works. The person that is trending the most, meaning if you go on to, you know, Big Brother, the Twitter account, you know, there's a million different ways to vote, and you answer a series of questions. Some of the questions are positive. Some of the questions are negative. It doesn't matter if you are trending for a negative or a positive reason. All that matters is that people are talking about you. So the people getting the crap app are the people that are trending the least, meaning they're the ones that are getting the least amount of questions answered about them. So Fessy getting the crap app in the first week wasn't about people hating him, although if you watch feeds, I could see why people are not digging in too much. It was about the least amount of people said his name. So going into this next week, getting the power will be interesting, because there's a lot of people that are going to be talked about, some people negatively, some people positively. I can see Tyler getting the power. He's very well liked. I can see, Tyler, JC, I can see it happening with. And then people with crap apps, I can see it. I can see KC for sure getting it. I can see Scotty. People that haven't gotten a lot of airtime. And that's the one thing that really sucks about this, is that Big Brother really has a big say in who gets powers and who gets, you know, even though America's voting, Big Brother is editing this show. So, you know, I can see Rockstar getting a crap app, for instance, because she's not on the show a lot. Casey's not on the show a lot. Scotty's not on the show a lot. That doesn't mean that they're not doing a bunch of things on the feeds, but Big Brother is editing. So, you know, they're really giving the, you know, there's certain people that are being profiled and there's certain people that are not. So that part kind of sucks, I have to say.
Yeah.
But in terms of twists, I don't know. It's not the worst twist in the world. I mean, we could have Battle of the Block again. That's what I always think. Like, at least it's not Battle of the Block. I'm very worried, by the way, that because they talked about having old school competitions, that there will be a week where we have a Battle of the Block week. I'm just very worried about this as a human being, Priscilla, I do not want it. I do not want it. You know, what's interesting, too, is there's 16 contestants, which for the last few seasons is a small amount of people. We've had 18 contestants. They're in the game for 99 days. So we're absolutely going to have people coming back into the house. We're absolutely going to have reset weeks. There's, you know, we just have to. It doesn't work out timing wise. So whoever gets this power for Sam, they'll definitely be coming back. So, you know, people will be kind of reentering the game at certain points in the game. Oh, the comps. I wanted to bring up the comps. I've been digging the comps this season so far. I really liked the veto competition, Priscilla. I thought that was fun. I thought it was something different. I liked that it pushed the limits a little bit. It was a little bit on the edgier side for Big Brother. I dug the veto. I really did. I thought that was cool. I thought the HOH was interesting. I wish that it happened a little later in the season because that dot deletion thing, the HOH from the first week, where people were putting balls in each other's tubes to get eliminated, you don't know anybody yet. So it's kind of like you're doing it just based on who's closest to you. I would have liked to see something like that further down the line when people actually know each other and then they know who to actually put their balls in their tubes, which, you know, sounds dirty, but it's not. And then this HOH competition with the ball into the buildings, it was a chance, but frankly, I liked it more than like the golf club, which is normally how we get our chance competition, a croquet mallet or a golf club. I thought that that was kind of a fun apparatus into the buildings. So we've seen that comp before, but it was at least a different variation of it. Priscilla, any thoughts on the comps?
They're different. They were more fear factories on the ones this last the episode for the veto, I believe it was. I didn't get to say when you're talking about the Sam and is it Kaylee, their stuff that they got, you know, the computer and the annoying little spinny wheel or whatever. I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about those two particular isolation things. You're so isolated anyways being in the house. And to me, you know, sometimes we have a cuckoo person in the house that just kind of goes mentally unstable. That very easily could push somebody over the edge being isolated as much as they were, especially Sam. And I'm very curious as to where Sam was during her, you know, time where she is looking through a computer. Like I said, I didn't get to see much. How many nights did she not stay in the house because of it? Overnight. Any?
Sam?
Yeah.
Well, we don't know how many before the feed started, but it was at least two after the feed started.
So that's just so, I don't know. I'm not a fan of that. I thought it was cute. The edit that they're doing on the CBS show, it makes it look cute and everything, but from what I mean, and they kind of showed a little bit in the CBS about her being isolated and having a hard time with it. But I know that the few times I have been on the live feed, it's like she's been cleaning, and it's probably just to keep herself occupied because she had been so isolated for so long, and trying to fit in when she come back. I mean, I just know from when I was traveling all the time and on the road, and I come back on the weekends, you know, and all my family and friends are doing the things that they'd already planned on doing. And, you know, I come back and I'm like, where do I fit in here kind of thing? And, you know, I've been around them all my entire life. So I can just, you know, a house full of strangers, That just, I don't know. It just hits me wrong.
Yeah, oh,
I know,
yeah,
it's
absolutely.
A game, but there's no reason to push people over the edge.
Well, I don't think that it was necessarily pushed over the edge. My main issue was that there was such a punishment disparity that I was like, oh, God. You know, like, I don't like it when the punishments are for the same thing, but they're completely unequal. If both of them were robots or, you know, maybe. But the fact that Sam's punishment was far worse than Casey's, and Casey happened
right.
to be safe. Because she was one of the eight that was chosen by Swaggy, you know, she was okay this week, so the punishment didn't necessarily affect her as much. But Sam had a hard time. I think she would have had a hard time regardless. I think with Sam, you know, Sam is an interesting character where I would have been completely fine with her leaving tonight. I think that we have seen what we're going to see from her. I don't see like her doing any more elaborate gameplay. I don't see her doing anything else. I think that's who she is. And, you know, I think we hit max capacity with what we saw of her. You know, that being said, I'm glad that she's getting another opportunity to kind of play, and we'll see how this week goes, because now she completely doesn't have to be a robot. And now she has a group of people that voted to keep her. But she definitely struggled this week. But I think she would have struggled without being a robot, and then only being a robot only made it worse.
Right.
Yeah. And it was funny because they kind of acknowledged her more as being the robot, because when she was the robot,
right,
they had to like help her move, help her negotiate things, you know, but even she would be in the kitchen for hours by herself because she couldn't move anywhere, and everybody
right.
would be gone, scattered in different places, and she was just there, you know, she could never go to the HOH room. She could never, you know, she couldn't get back to the
right.
bedrooms, you know, there was only a certain amount of places that she could go.
Was her body, when all this was going down, where was her body physically? I'm just curious.
Oh, I'm sure it was in a room off the house. You know, a small room off the house where, you know, and maybe
that
it was just one room. Where...
Just think about that, being secluded in a
oh,
room.
Oh, sure.
Oh, my God, then.
Well, it's
I mean,
like,
just
it's
being
like solitary.
Before you go in
right.
the house, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's like solitary. It's like, you know, Dan, and actually Danielle, too, they both got, remember when they had a veto competition and the punishment was 24
right.
hours of solitary? I mean, so it was a punishment
right.
within a punishment, absolutely. Oh, I'm totally with you on this. I think, but I also... The one reason why I don't think that it was as bad is because being that robot got her that power, which got her in with Tyler. And Tyler was instrumental in getting her to stay. Tyler was the one that flipped Caitlin. That would have never happened without Sam approaching Tyler about the power. So, you know, There were advantages to her being a robot as well. So that's, you know, especially now that she didn't go out the first week. She has three more weeks of this power, you know, that she can do anything with, which is interesting, which is definitely interesting.
Well, and it doesn't say for sure, though. It says a chance of coming back. It's
yeah,
not
but
a
I think
foregone conclusion.
Yeah, but I think the chance is as chance, you know, I think it's as foregone conclusion-y as you can get. They need people back into that house. They didn't say anything to Steve about, well, Steve, your game might not be over yet. I noticed that because I was kind of waiting for are they going to do a pre-jury buyback situation, and she didn't say that. Now that doesn't mean that he's not going to the sequester, because Steve said, but Steve had a, a, she had an ample opportunity because Steve said, like, I'm going to watch every episode, Julie. And Julie could have said, well, you might not be watching every episode for a while because, you know, but she didn't. She was like, okay, Steve, like, she didn't, it was very noncommittal.
Did you, now that you're saying Steve, did you catch Tyler? Tyler was very good on his exit because he knew the entire time that Steve was going, his choice to go home. But yet in his goodbye, he was like, just in case he was coming back, so he's got jury control down if he continues to do this each time.
Right. I think it's whether or not
the
way
he worded his goodbye is like he didn't want him to go home and he's sorry that he went home, that it wasn't his choice. Whereas just like with everybody else, it's like, see you later, you know, Brett, say yeah, you weren't right side of the house kind of thing. So I think Tyler could do a good job at management.
I think so, too. And I think that's who he is. I don't think that that's, you know, necessarily a put-on thing. I think that it's going to be good if he can make sure that he's sincere. I think there might come a point where people get mad at him because he's everybody's best friend and you can't be everybody's best friend. So I think there might come a point where that might be a problem. But, yeah, he did some excellent management. And if Steve does happen to come back into the house for whatever reason, you know, Tyler, you know, he might not be as mad at Tyler, considering that he was the person that put him up and the person that ultimately sent him home. Maybe he won't be as mad about that. One other thing that I definitely want to address, we've already had a few inappropriate incidences in the house this week, one involving JC, another involving Rachel and Angela. JC's, and I'm not going to go into too much detail, but there's lots of articles written about it on The Hollywood Reporter and TMZ. You can definitely read about it if you don't already know about it. But JC, for inappropriate touching, and for Angela and Rachel for some comments that they made while talking to each other. Big Brother has done something that they've never done before, which is they put out a statement maybe it's because the current climate that we're in, maybe they just wanted to get ahead of this, or maybe it's because reputable media outlets were talking about it. It just wasn't TMZ, although TMZ is credible most of the time. But, you know, TMZ is TMZ, and then there's other, you know, The Hollywood Reporter is on a different level. I think when reputable media outlets started talking about specifically Rachel and Angela, they got in front of it. They put out a statement. They said, look, we don't condone this. We don't agree with this. Not only are we not going to show it on the show, we're not going to put it on the show, we're also going to talk to them about their behavior and make sure that it doesn't happen again. So they've never done that before. Not to the degree where they took people out separately. We did overhear them a couple times last year when they were so, like, I think they were afraid of just people getting beat up. They would kind of tell them to tone it down and knock it off. And, hey, there was even a couple leaks last year where you heard somebody come on the microphone, a producer come on the microphone and say, remember, guys, this is just a game. I need you to be calm. I need you to relax. When things got too heated, I think at one point they told Josh to knock it off with the pots and pans. But, you know, I liken this to a season 15, which there was lots of issues. They were never Aaron, Spencer, Gina Marie. They were never individually warned of their behavior. And so yesterday on the feeds, they were JC, Angela, and Rachel were individually warned about the incidences. Angela and Rachel were devastated. They were absolutely devastated that they were warned about this. super upset, completely unaware. And I do have to say, hearing their comments and hearing what they said, I think it absolutely came from a place of ignorance. You know, I think that they were just stupid. JC, I didn't see with as much remorse, but Rachel and Angela were absolutely devastated. And, you know, the good thing about telling them ahead of time is that, you know, on an individual level, they won't destroy their lives outside of the house, which is always nice. And they'll think before they speak. But I think the negative part of it is that they will think before they speak. You know, so it's do you want them to be warned or do you want them not to be? I personally think that I'm okay with them being warned. I don't want someone to have their lives absolutely destroyed over a comment that they were, not just a game, but over a comment that they were just too stupid to understand why it was wrong. You know, it was Rachel and Angela specifically, it was just pure ignorance. And, you know, ignorance is not necessarily an excuse, but it was pure stupidity. JC, it was not as much stupidity and more about, you know, you need to control yourself. But, you know, Angela and Rachel, I think it was pure stupidity. And I would hate for them to lose their lives over pure stupidity. Now, that being said, if one of them is accused of saying something again or say, you know, then it's like, dude, you got warned. What, you know, what else can we do here? But I honestly don't think that will happen again, at least with the two of them. What are your thoughts on this, Priscilla?
I don't know what issues you're talking about. I have not seen, or like I said, I've been extremely busy the whole week. I hate they've done this every year, I understand, and every year I bitch about them starting over a holiday weekend. When I'm in a lake, I got to be on the lake. So I am going to take a few the next few days to get caught up. But, a lot of what is said is because of ignorance, and there is, in the past in history, a lot of people educated, you know, that don't get out of their little city, let alone their state. And it's not necessarily, I wouldn't even say it's ignorance, because you don't even know you're ignorant to it, because your eyes aren't open to it, because it's something you don't see in your, you know, everyday life. It is ignorance to an aspect that if you don't know to go look for it or to figure it out or to hear about it or know there's anything wrong with it, you know, some people could be like me. I don't watch the news. I'm not on social media as often as a lot of people are. Every news I get is through my social media, and I'm not even on it half the time. So,
I will say that Angela and Rachel are both sophisticated women. You know, they both come, they're not sheltered. They didn't leave sheltered lives before this. Ignorance is not
true.
You know, great. It's not an excuse.
Right.
Two of them had a conversation that could be misconstrued as racially insensitive in mm-hmm. passing. And like I said, JC was touching people inappropriately. Those were these two issues.
Wasn't there an issue last year or last season about somebody grabbing, Jessica, no, somebody made a big beef about Jessica touching butts or something or grabbing butts or
yes.
something. And they,
yes. Tia, there was an article about Jessica touching people's butts. Yep. I absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, and she wasn't warned about it. I think it's a combination of we are living in a moment where you know, sensitivity is key. And, you know, I don't think they've seen other television shows of late go down for, you know, different reasons involving the sort of subject matter. And, you know, they're I think Big Brother is trying to protect their show, and the way to protect it is for people not to say these things and then media catching on and repeating what is being said. That being said, I want as little interference through production as possible. I hope that they don't have to do it again. I think that if they have to talk to JC or Rachel or Angela again, I think that's cause for dismissal. If you have to warn someone about it more than once, I think that's, you know, I think that it's time for them to go, you know, if you're that worried about what they're doing. You know, and they, everybody in the house also got a general warning. The three of them were pulled out and got specific warnings. Everybody else got a general warning about, you know, just the fact that everybody is watching your movements and listening to everything that you have to say. So I honestly don't think that we're going to get a ton more this season, which I'm okay with. I don't need any more. But it was what a way to start the first week. So they had a lot to deal with regarding that. And I did like the fact Angela and Rachel were, I mean, despondent. They really were. I mean, they were crushed and, you know, upset that this even went down. And, you know, I think, I don't know. I mean, I think that they'll be okay, but I think that if something else happens, or if, they think that America doesn't like them, or if, I don't know, they get booed. Something else happens outside. They get a crap app, something like that. I could see one or both of them possibly leaving. So it's, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I mean, they have to protect themselves beyond the game. So, I also said the other night that Caitlin, I think, is the closest thing that we've had to Shima in a long time. So I think if anyone's going to throw a microphone into a hot tub, it's going to be Caitlin. So watch out for that. I'm here for that. Shima's antics were it was like one of the best nights of feeds I've ever seen. So I'm here. I'm here for that. I think that could possibly happen to Caitlin. So just putting that out there. I want to see it. The certified life coach going nuts and taking her microphone and throwing it into the hot tub. I am in for that. Yeah. So, I mean, any additional thoughts about this week in general and Big Brother before we move on?
No, I pretty much, like I said, I kind of already expressed how I felt with the Sam issue and the computer and all the isolation I felt was a bit over the top. Now, I have noticed that with all the comps, they kind of have a little bit of a different twist on them so far from what we've seen. And I'm curious as well, we didn't get to discuss it a little that much, but even with the very first comp that they had that the Swaggy ended up winning from, you know, some of them were coming in through the storage room, not through the DR. And you could obviously tell that the backyard was set up for the one comp. So where in the hell was the other comp being held at? So they're kind of going outside the box. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not doing their norm. And that I like, it's a little bit more refreshing because it's making us think, at least technically now, okay, well, how did they throw this together? You know, even with the editing that they tried to do, like I said, somebody must have got a new gizmo computer trying to do, you know, fade in and fade out. But they are mixing it up a little bit from our it's not so predictable
especially with the comp.
The fact,
I like that.
The fact that the first veto comp wasn't a spelling comp, I'm in for it. You know, they love that spelling comp, and they love it in the first veto. So the fact that we got something completely different, I'm here for it. And I would love to see some old school competitions. I want to see a good button push competition. I mean, when I think of endurance comp, I think of a hold your button down season 6 comp, and I would love to see something like that again. Just in the backyard, hours on end, like I am here for that. So I would love to see something like that. So I'm not opposed to seeing some of the comps that we saw, but I absolutely agree with you, Priscilla. I think that it's nice to see some new stuff being broken out and some twists on old competitions. So I'll take it. Real quick, I know that and you know, guys, you can catch all of our shows on blogtalkradio.com and on iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at Reality Alley. Priscilla is at Priscilla, PSILLA. And, of course, if you want to watch the Big Brother feeds along with us, Edge of Reality is our room, or you can hit one of us up on Twitter and we'll get you in. Real quick, I wanted to spend 2 minutes talking about Proposal because we both were talking about that. We've seen a couple episodes at this point. Here's the thing. I was here for it. I was all about it. It seemed super trashy, and I love a trashy TV show when it knows it's trashy. I don't like kind of like The Bachelor and Bachelorette. I don't like a trashy TV show that tries to pretend that it's not. But this was just full on trash, and I wanted it so badly. I'll have to say I watched all 3 episodes that have aired. By the middle of the 3rd episode on Monday night, I was done. Like, I was like, I don't need to see this over and over again. So, I mean, even though it's an interesting concept and even though, you know, it's trashy and kind of funny in a tongue-in-cheek kind of way, and I love the announcer and what points of a person's bio that they choose to read. My favorite was the woman who hated parades. It's like, well, that's what I'm going to choose my future wife on, if she hates parades. I just a random thing. But, yeah, after you see it a couple times, you're like, eh, that's cool. You know, because the proposal part of it is kind of lame. I don't really care about that part because, you know, none of them are getting married. It just is what it's a gimmick. So, you know, there's no stakes involved. So it's the process. And I didn't care about that. I was here for the process. But I think after a few times seeing the process, I'm okay with seeing what I've seen. Priscilla, you've got 1 minute to state your case.
I was out partway through the 2nd episode. It reminded me of that other show, and didn't somebody end up dying from it or something that I can't even remember what channel it was on several years
VH1.
Ago.
Yep, VH1 from
okay.
Over Money. I absolutely know what you're talking about.
And no, there was another one. There was another one. Really similar to this one, even way more similar than For Love or Money, like way more. God, I wish I could remember. They had like millionaires or something for The Bachelor and stuff. I wish I could. I'll think of it for the next show. But yeah, no, I was. It's kind of too far fetched for me. I can understand, like, you know, having a date and, like, being in love and blah, 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 and being married within a month or whatever. But to meet with the way that they're meeting on the show, it's unrealistic. They don't even ask, like you said,
of
in the bio, how in the world can you get to know somebody from a bio in, like, 10 minutes? That's just ridiculous.
Well, of course it's unrealistic. That's the fun of the show. That's the fun of the show, though. I mean, it's, you know, you take away the proposal part because you know that that's garbage. And it's just like the fun and the craziness and why all these people would decide to do this. And the people who, they have their parents in the audience, I'm like, what the hell, parents? Why would you, you know, I would strongly discourage my child not to do this show. But here they are. The parents are there, like, all excited and happy. And I'm just like, what the hell is going on? But, yeah, the idea of it is not, I mean, I'm fine with it, and I don't think the proposal needs to happen. But it's the, once you've seen it once, it's, you're just kind of like, I've seen it. So, but you're absolutely right. Yes.
There is a here in half hour after we go off the air, there will be Fandom Access is going to be having a special guest, Todd Stashwick from the 12 Monkeys, just a promotion for the show on the channel as well. So there will be more to come up if you're aboard and want to hang out and check it out.
Absolutely, yeah. Support all the shows on the NDB Media Network. Absolutely. Good call, Priscilla. All right, but that's it for us for tonight. I want to thank everybody listening live, everybody listening to archives. Next week, of course, we'll talk more Big Brother. We'll have the challenge we'll have started, lots of other things to talk about. So until then, see ya.
Good night, everyone.